Self-Evident is a podcast that is dedicated to speaking truths that were once self-evident, but doing so in love. Hail and well met, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Self-Evident. My name is Jenna, and my co-host today is none other than
Kenna Rose.
That's right. We are back in person together. We are currently just residing on a couch. This is a very casual, laid-back atmosphere.
We have a bag of marshmallows next to us.
In between us. So if one of us has like a very full mouth while we are talking, don't blame us. I will try to edit that out, but I make no promises. Today, Kenna, what are we about to try and break down?
Well, Jenna, it just so happens that we are going to try and analyze President Trump's first week in office. And guys, there is a lot. Oh my goodness.
Kenna and I were sitting at her kitchen table for about 2 hours trying to gather everything that he's done. This man, he's around 80 years old.
Ask Google
and
how?
He has done more in this week than I have done in my entire lifetime. Yesterday alone, which was Friday the 24th, he was first in North Carolina visiting the hurricane victims. Then he flew all the way to Los Angeles to meet with Governor Gavin Newsom and the LA mayor, I don't remember her name, but to basically provide support, federal support, for all of the victims who have lost their homes in the fire during the California fires that have been happening. And then he flew from Los Angeles to Las Vegas, where he had a rally. This man, that's only one, like, what, 18-hour span?
Uh-huh. And that's not including anything else he's done since he took office, including the myriad of executive orders signed, the confirmation of his nominations, the speech he gave at the World Economic Forum.
Girl, there's so much.
Honestly, we were going to try and break this down day by day.
We're just like, guys, let's help everybody. And then I'm like, I need help.
We gave up. We were like, we're just going to talk about the ones we think are most important.
So if anything falls through the cracks, that's why. We basically did give up. So,
and I do think we should preface this by saying, so we're not going to cover everything or even some of the most important executive orders he signed, because everybody and their uncle has been covering them.
And their uncle's mom. Don't
forget
them. True.
And their uncle's siblings and cousins. So
it's a whole thing.
Mm-hmm. But Alyssa did cover, like, the day after the inauguration, covered a lot of the things a lot of people have been commenting on in episode 104. Day one was a win. So if there's something we didn't cover that you really wanted to hear about, check out that episode, and I'm pretty sure she's probably talked about it.
Yes, she talked about 8 or 9 of the most important executive orders and proclamations that Trump had done. She also talked about the style of the inauguration day, which, I'm sorry if you've already listened to the episode, Kenna and I are going to go into it too, because it was so cool. Amazing.
We were so excited. Like, Melania and Usha looked gorgeous.
Specifically them, yes. But there's also other fashion moments.
Yes.
Like, for example, Jeff Bezos' fiance, who decided to wear a bralette corset to the inauguration of the 47th President of the United States of America.
Or John Fetterman, who wore sweats or like shorts and a sweatshirt.
Who does this?
As Ali Bassaki said, he is so dedicated to his own comfort, I'm almost impressed.
Honestly, I think we do have to give him credit for that. Dude, respect to you, even though if you don't give it to our country. So that's wild. But I do want to say, I know Kenna and I, our group chat was exploding the day of the inauguration.
It was so crazy.
Because we were all so stunned at all of the outfits that were happening. And I have two comments to make
yes,
about Melania's two different outfits of that mm-hmm. day. So the first one, everybody is comparing her to like Michael Jackson or a UFO because of the hat that she
wore. Carmen Sandiego.
Right. And not in a good way, I heard right. multiple people say.
Yeah.
But this hat that she wore was a power statement, because not only did it keep people away that were, you know, the decorum kind of requires that, you know, you kiss someone on both cheeks and things like that, it kept that well away from her. Even her own husband wasn't able to kiss her own cheek, which is kind of funny to me. But that was a power statement on her end, because she knew that in the Capitol, there are so many people who are not their friends, who have criticized her and her husband relentlessly. So her statement was, you do not even get the dignity of me looking you in the eye because of what you've done and how much you've dragged my husband through. So I was so impressed by her.
She looked gorgeous in the hat.
Just stunning. So,
yeah, but I like that you think, like, that you take the position that it was a power move, because I've definitely heard both kind of like, oh, it's just a hat, versus, oh, yeah, she's making a statement.
She's definitely making a statement.
Yeah, I kind of think she might be, or I agree with you.
Yeah. And then another thing about Melania's second outfit, I think it was her second outfit of the day, was the dress that she wore for the inaugural ball, which was this beautiful white number that has this very bold black line going mm-hmm. through the dress. And initially, I was kind of confused by it. I'm like, okay, weird, right. Like little art deco, I guess. But when my mother saw it, she goes, Jenna, this is so reminiscent of all of the executive orders Trump has signed today. It looks like a signature on her dress.
And it does.
It's so cool.
And your mom knows fashion.
Oh, my mom is amazing with fashion. Like, I'm wearing half her clothes right now. So, yeah. So that is two of the comments that I wanted to make on Melania's outfits specifically, just because that woman is such an icon when it comes to fashion. I cannot wait to see what the ensuing years bring us with all of these different outfit choices that she makes. Now we need to talk about Usha.
Her outfits, she is gorgeous.
First and foremost, this lady, she is a litigator. She worked with Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Kavanaugh of the Supreme Court of the United States. This woman has a brain. She also is so, so smart when it comes to being able to have a natural beauty and like natural colors that bring out her natural and organic just stunningness. So she was in Oscar de la Renta the entire day of the inauguration,
which is kind of crazy too, that they were even willing to, one, make her a custom dress, and then two, almost like brag about it, post about it. It's encouraging. I've definitely heard a lot of commentators say, and I agree with them, that it is encouraging to see the shift to where a lot of organizations or brands that wouldn't dare associate with a conservative 4 years ago are starting to shift. And even people who are definitely not conservative in their views, like Mark Zuckerberg or some of those other heads of Silicon Valley, or even Jeff Bezos, who are now fully trying to get into Trump's good graces.
Which is super interesting to me. But not only did Oscar de la Renta dress Usha Vance, I'm pretty sure they also dressed Melania Trump. And not only Melania, they also dressed Ivanka Trump. Ivanka's outfits were out of this world amazing. She had this beautiful, like, shimmery white number where it was made of seed pearls. So beautiful. And then for the inauguration ball, she did a dress that was very, very reminiscent of Audrey Hepburn, like complete with the elbow length gloves.
Really?
Oh my goodness.
I didn't see that one. I can't believe I didn't see that one.
Absolutely stunning. I think I sent it in our chat.
We were sending so many pictures back and
forth. There was so much that happened that day, but you need to see Ivanka Trump's outfit. It was so beautiful. So we talked a little bit about the fashion, but I kind of feel like we need to move on, or else this entire episode is just going to be about the clothes, because we are just girls and we loved every single second of the fashion choices of Melania Trump, Usha Vance, and Ivanka Trump. Let's go ahead and look at some of the executive orders, actions, and proclamations and memorandums and whatever else they're called that President Trump has signed this past week. Kenna, what are like some of the biggest ones in your opinion?
So a couple of the biggest ones that I guess have caused a lot of fire among the media and even some controversy in conservative circles, definitely controversy in mainstream liberal media circles. So there's a lot, but first day, a very prominent app that was being used by people wanting to come into the country illegally got shut down. And this app had been sponsored by the Biden administration. A very pro-abortion site, also sponsored by the Biden administration, got shut down. And I'm pretty sure those were both executive orders, but I might be wrong on that. And then Trump signed an order redefining birthright citizenship. He gave a electrifying speech at the World Economic Forum. He declassified files related to JFK, MLK Jr., and RFK.
Which I'm so excited about. Because it's about time the public knew what was happening with this. But also, before we continue, I want to address something that was confusing to me, because there are so many reports about, oh, executive action, and then, oh, executive order. And I was thinking to myself, so are they
the difference?
Yeah, are they synonyms of each other? But it turns out, no. According to NPR.org, the authority to issue executive orders and memorandums does not appear in the Constitution, and that is partly why the definitions are a little hazy. Authority to issue both is considered an inherent aspect of presidential power, though. An order, an executive order, is a call for the executive branch to take a specific action or to change an existing practice. If the president has the authority to issue that directive, whether from the Constitution or statute, it becomes legally binding. If there's a clear piece of legislation that says, no, you can't do this, however, a president cannot pick up a pen and get around it. In essence, a president can't sign an executive order that violates existing law. So that's an executive order.
Okay, that makes sense, because I guess I always thought they were similar or the same thing. So it's good to know that there's some difference there.
Yes, and so once a president signs an executive order, it's sent to the Federal Register for an identifying number and then published. That's a key step that isn't legally required with executive memorandums. There are no legal processes required for issuing a memorandum. A president doesn't have to do anything, doesn't even have to publish it if he or she doesn't want to. So with an executive order, presidents must publish, but with a memorandum, they actually really don't. The Obama administration started publishing public memorandums on the White House website, and then the Trump administration has followed suit. But that is something they choose to do, and it's what's available on the website now may not include all of the new administration memorandums. They're often conflated with each other, however. In the last few administrations, particularly since the Clintons, presidents started using the two words interchangeably, though. So just to sum up, executive order is supposed to be legally binding, and he cannot contradict a federal law. Memorandums are more like just, you don't have to publish them publicly, but they're kind of more for your administration than for the public.
Those are important to know, because he signed a lot of things.
Yeah.
Among them, he made male and female. He signed an order getting rid of DEI programs. He pardoned, like, a blanket pardon for, I think, almost all people involved in J6.
Yeah, you actually wanted to talk a little bit about that. I know J.D. Vance was also encouraging to do it, like, a case-by-case basis.
Right.
Initially, I was just like, no, just pardon them all, but you disagreed with me.
Well, it was interesting, because I was listening to Albert Mueller on this, and so a lot of the people in prison had been treated really poorly, and I think they were even treated without due process of law in many cases. Albert Mueller was talking about the blanket pardons that Biden signed, because I don't know if you guys know this, but Biden basically pardoned his entire family before he left office, and he offered preemptive pardons for a lot of people who were in his administration too, which is just a really dangerous precedent to set.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
That is abusing power.
And preemptive pardons, it kind of scares me, because what are you pardoning them from? Is it just in case, because they might need to, Trump might want to get political justice by being like, oh, I get revenge, you treated me so terribly that I'm gonna, but so what are you hiding? What are you pardoning?
Right. But the basic thing too about the January 6th pardons is that is also just because it was a blanket pardon or a blanket pardon, that also sets a dangerous precedent for future presidents, because it's using the pardon power in a way it wasn't meant to be used. Because, well, most of the J6 pardons were used or were done the way I think the pardon should be used. There were some of them where they were genuinely convicted of more serious crimes, like assaulting an officer or things like that. There should have been, I think, a little bit more done before it was just a full blanket pardon.
A blanket pardon would be something that you are pardoning everybody who was ever part of that case, instead of going by individual basis and being like, okay, let's see how involved you were.
Right. And I feel like we should define what a pardon is, because the word is being used really, really frequently.
Okay.
A pardon is complete forgiveness of a crime, and it restores full rights of citizenship. According to this website called AGC Politics, what it does is it... So I think there are two versions. I know you can do one that commutes the sentence, as in, like, say, sentence has already been served.
Okay.
And you're pardoned. But then I think there's also one where it makes it so it looks like you never committed the crime at all, never served a sentence.
Okay, so it, like, washes your record clean.
Right, so one of them is like, you've already served your sentence, you are pardoned, you can go back to life. The other one is, you've never committed this crime at all.
Wow. So what's the blanket pardon? Is the blanket pardon, you never committed a crime at all?
I'm pretty sure a blanket pardon just covers everything. So it's like anything you did related to this is pardoned.
Gotcha.
Because some people can be indicted for multiple offenses related to the same event.
Okay.
So I think it just covers all of them.
I see.
I would definitely double check that, though, if you are a lawyer, because I don't want to get in trouble for giving
you're not a lawyer.
False advice. Right.
Another executive order that was kind of not as covered. Trump actually signed an executive order to reengage a legal and regulatory battle with California state government over water routes from the Sacramento-San Joaquin Delta. And forgive me if I'm saying any of that wrong, because I am terrible with pronunciation. Trump wants to override fish and wildlife protection efforts to route more of the water to the Central Valley and Southern California. And Kenna, why is that important?
Well, because if that had been done, these wildfires would likely be over by now. No, genuinely though, California, one of the reasons these wildfires have been so bad is because of things like that, where...
And also, I kind of feel like it's a stretch calling them wildfire now at this point, because it does seem like there is arson going on.
I agree. It's so tragic.
This could have all been taken care of and tampered down if what Trump is trying to do here is try to get water into Southern California, but it's being stopped because there's a fish.
Yes. With a lot of these water projects has prioritized wildlife and things like that over...
human life,
right? And so there was a reservoir planned in California, and I don't remember exactly where. Oh, it was supposed to be in the western Sacramento Valley, and it has been talked about, according to Albert Mueller, for 40 years. Get this, 40 years. An article published in 2023 had
two years ago
with the hope that the project would be formally underway in 2024.
Wow.
But the problem is they had to do some sort of ecological effect report, like, that would talk about what effect it would have on nature, and they discovered a fish species. They were saying, this is a new type of fish, it's endangered, we can't build this anymore because it might wreck the fish. And according to Albert Mueller, on January the 3rd of 2025, they discovered that it is actually a variant of another species that isn't endangered at all. So it wasn't even a new species. They just thought it was. And so this project has been put on hold. But things like that are one of the reasons why California has been really struggling with these wildfires, is because they don't have water reservoirs or just water.
And so that is a huge executive order that he signed, because the Californian people need help.
Mm-hmm. These wildfires have been devastating. Pray for them, because it is going to be hard to get back on your feet in California because of how much devastation there has been from these fires.
Yeah. Before we close out talking about executive orders and memorandums, things like that, I want to also mention that he did do the pro-life pardons, which is so huge. 23 people who were arrested for praying outside of abortion mills, they were freed. And actually, there were some very heartwarming pictures that they turned around and they went right back to work, and most of them were actually at the March for Life in DC, which is such a testament to their courage and their passion.
These pro-lifers were indicted by the Biden administration using the FACE Act, which is also known as Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, and it has allowed the Biden administration to take pro-life protesters who were praying peacefully, not doing things that could be considered, I don't think they were breaking,
they weren't breaking
the FACE Act.
I've prayed outside of abortion clinics before, and actually did some sidewalk counseling work. The only rules that you have is you cannot block the driveway. So you get to pray on the side where it's public property. You get to pray right next to the driveway, but you're not allowed to block the driveway itself. And so none of these pro-life protesters or prayer warriors, as far as I can tell, were doing it. They were just praying peacefully right outside the gates.
And the Biden administration used the FACE Act to imprison them for this, while many pro-life pregnancy centers were facing graffiti of really disturbing messages or firebomb attacks and things like that, and they didn't go after them. So we are just very, very grateful Trump pardoned these pro-lifers.
Yes, 100%. Now, real quickly, before we wrap up our episode, we wanted to talk about a couple of the appointments Trump has made and that have kind of made history, actually. The day we're recording this is January 25th. So actually, late last night in the DC Capitol, Vice President J.D. Vance was able to use for the first time his powers of tie-breaking as the head of the Senate. He was able to get Pete Hegseth confirmation. We now have a new Secretary of Defense, and this role is super important because Pete Hegseth will now oversee the Department of Defense, be the principal policymaker and advisor when it comes to defense policies for the U.S.
Mm-hmm. A couple other nominations that have been made is Kristi Noem.
Yeah.
For Homeland Security, which that kind of includes TSA, Customs, Border Protection, just a lot of things regarding the safety of our country. So law enforcement, Secret Service, Coast Guard, U.S. Citizen and Immigration Services, all those types of things.
And then for Secretary of State, we have Marco Rubio, which is fantastic. This guy is going to do such a great job in that role.
Yeah, and he got actually a unanimous vote,
which is so cool. Everybody agreed that he was the perfect person for this job.
Yeah, he's going to be good at this role, I think, based on what he's done and
he's got a proven track record.
Yeah, so that's exciting. And then also touching really fast, Trump gave a speech at the World Economic Forum this week as well. He has had
and keep
a
in mind
week.
This is all within the span of Monday to Friday,
right? And
I don't even know what he's doing today.
I think he gave this speech at on Tuesday or something. Talked to the World Economic Forum, and it was a really interesting speech. It was focused on a lot of his plans for the United States. I think it's good to give it a listen to if you're kind of curious about what some of his plans are, what he wants to do. But it was really interesting to listen because you could tell that a lot of the other heads of countries or leadership at this conference knew that they had to respect him, even in the way their questions were asked and some of those things.
Cool.
And it was just really interesting to listen to. But I think that's another important thing to know. Deportations of illegal immigrants have already started. So that's another exciting thing. They're
going after the violent criminals first. And I know Ken and I actually did want to have a conversation about this because a lot of people that are here, they were here as maybe dreamers, and America is all they've ever known. They didn't choose to come here.
And
their parents brought them here.
Dreamer really fast for people who might not know.
So dreamer is a young kid who was brought here by the U.S. They were not born here, but they were brought here from a very, very early age. And so all they ever know really is the United States of America. But if you are not born in the United States, you are not thought of as a citizen. So you need to go through the required steps to become an American citizen.
Like you said, they're going after violent criminals first.
Correct.
Right? And this is interesting because we know there are a lot of people who do raise the issue of the dreamers. Well, they weren't here on purpose. What do we do about that? And I know a couple of my sisters had a really good conversation where they were talking about this. And so a nation is held together by similar thoughts, similar culture, some of those types of things. And letting just anybody into our nation, even if they aren't violent, reworks the fabric of society.
Right.
And a nation that is trying to juggle and hold too many different cultures is not going to last. It is going to collapse in on itself. And there are many ways, too, that I know one of my sisters pointed out is there are a lot of ways for people who came here as dreamers to get their citizenship legally, even after coming here. And many of them just haven't done it. And they're just living here. And often they get special privileges just because they're here illegally.
Right. Like that immigration app you were talking about that Trump has now officially closed.
Mm-hmm. And from what I read, that app, what it did is it let families who were waiting by the border to get in, book a flight to get to the U.S.
Literally open border policy. And actually, Alyssa and Eliana had a whole conversation about illegal immigration.
Because their conversation was good.
That's literally the entire conversation is about this. What is going to be done with President Trump's deportation of thousands and thousands of illegal immigrants? And our response as Christians, how should we be looking at this? Or where should our sympathies lie?
Right. And it's too much, I think, for us to cover in an episode where we're just trying to kind of give you briefly some of the things that Trump has done in his first week. So go check that out.
Well, a couple other mentions, honorable mentions that I wanted to talk about, but we're just going to mention them briefly here. Trump actually signed an executive order. This is personally just something I really like. President Trump also signed an executive order that requires Trump's personal approval of new architectural and design standards for federal buildings so the president can ensure federal structures respect regional, traditional, and classical architectural heritage in order to uplift and beautify public spaces and ennoble the United States. That is something that not a lot of people are. Everyone's like, yeah, okay, so what? But at the same time, that has a legacy. Those buildings are going to be there for the longest time, you know?
Right. Not to mention, though, too, that architecture can actually say stuff about the worldview
100%
of the people who build it. And so it'll be interesting to see what some of those new building projects are. I'm kind of looking forward to it.
He also signed an executive order to make sure the states that have the death penalty will get the lethal injections needed to carry out all of these sentences. And he's also using this executive order to encourage them to use it to the fullest extent of the law and not play around with criminals, but actually fulfill their duty as being the government. And in Romans 13, we know that the government is supposed to wield the sword and not supposed to do it in vain. So that is something that I think is also should be talked about.
But it has been a very busy week for Trump and Vance. And I know we are feeling really hopeful, very excited, very grateful that God is giving us this chance as a country. We're excited about the shift that seems to be happening even in more mainstream culture, mm-hmm. where brands and tech companies are more willing to work with conservatives. Actually, that's another order he signed, was where you can't censor conservative voices or you can't censor voices on social media.
Period.
For having a worldview different from yours. So that'll be very exciting.
I agree. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Self-Evident. I hope our rambling thoughts about the first week of Trump's presidency was not as overwhelming as all the actions that he took. And I hope this was helpful for you. We can't wait to see what Trump does in the ensuing weeks. Let us firmly rely on the protection of divine providence until we see each other again. This is Self-Evident.